Aloha! It's Jason from Hawaii. The Comics for Fun and Profit podcast is celebrating its 900th episode. That's right, 900 episodes. I just want to say to Kyle and Drew, congratulations on achieving this amazing milestone. Please continue to keep up the great work and please continue to share your love of comics with everybody. Again, thank you very much for doing these episodes every week. Until next time, guys, aloha.
Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need.
Aloha, it's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing friends of the podcast, writers Frank Barberi and Aris Quinones. They are here to promote Comixology Originals, Astonishing Times, Rise of the Kokin. Now, issue 3 is already available through Comixology. Issue 4 will be released in October. Frank and Aris, welcome back to the podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Doing well.
So, listeners, I'm just going to briefly go over some of Frank's past works and also Aris's, also talk about a little bit about his YouTube channel as well. Actually, I'm going to have Aris talk about that. So, Frank has co-written with Ricky Mamone, Elixir from Dark Horse. That's an original trade, original graphic novel that came out last year. Please check that out. It's a great story. Also, Frank wrote 5 Ghosts from Image Comics. And Frank, correct me if I'm wrong, that you celebrated its 10th anniversary sometime last year. Was that correct when it came out?
Yep. Yeah, 10 years. It was March 2013. So we're actually... you know, we might have just passed 11 years this month. Getting older every minute.
Yes. And Aris is a content creator and writer. He co-created and is a host of the popular YouTube channel podcast Variant Comics. He's been doing that since 2012. As of today, Aris, please correct me if I'm wrong, the channel has amassed 2.53 million subscribers. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And I'm going to ask, can you talk a little bit about your channel?
Yeah. So we are a comic-centric YouTube channel. We've been around since 2012, like you mentioned. And we basically talk about all things comics, as the tagline I say in the show. So we give history of characters. If you want to know about Spider-Man, we'll break it down, give you all the highlights in, 10 to 15 minutes. If you want to know about current story arcs, I give breakdowns weekly on the channel. We do alternate versions of, telling you different variations of, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Spawn, what have you. Talk about movies, just anything and all things comics on a weekly basis. Right now we're doing 2 episodes a week. We have a podcast that is also weekly, and we're looking to expand and do bigger and better things where we talk about all things comics.
All right. Nice. Thank you very much. Now, Aris and Frank, they have co-created the series called Astonishing Times. The first volume, it's first came out as a Comixology Originals, and you can pick up the trade paperback through Dark Horse. Aris and Frank, I'm going to ask, anything else you guys want to plug or promote? Anything else?
No, that's all for now. Well,
Yeah.
for me, if you got something, Aris, please.
No, I'm down to start getting to the rise of Koken.
Okay. Before we jump into that, I want to give a big shout out to Pamela of Superfan Promotions for setting up this interview. Pamela, thank you very much. Guys, do you guys want to add anything to that?
Go,
No, just
Pamela.
yeah, just plus one. Plus one.
All right. Frank, I'm going to start off with you. Where can listeners follow you on social media?
I am at Atlas Incognita, ATLASINCOGNITA on Twitter/X.com. And then just like I have my website, which is also atlasincognita.com, that is very out of date, but I try to get to. But Twitter is mainly where I will post things, if very slowly.
Eris, what about you?
Me, I'm pretty much on all of the socials. So on TikTok, I'm very active on there. Eris underscore Quinones. Instagram, I also use a lot, which is also at Eris underscore Quinones. And then Twitter/X as well, which would also be at Eris underscore Quinones. So all my socials are the same. So TikTok, Instagram, and X would be Eris underscore Quinones. And I pretty much post daily on all those.
Aris understands how marketing works.
Yeah,
Right, so listeners, before we start jumping into the rise of the Koken, I want Frank and Aris to briefly go over the first volume of Astonishing Times. So Aris, I'm going to start off with you, and then Frank jump in. Or so Astonishing Times, Volume 1. What is that story about?
want to take it, Frank?
Oh, kick back over. Yeah. So we talked a bit about this last time we were here, and I can't remember how much was out when we spoke, Jason, or had the first issue even come out,
No, it
or
was the first, I think, I want to say it was the first two issues, I think. Yeah.
okay. Yeah. So there was a little chunk out. But so basically, long story short, Aris and I had met many years ago, probably now 11 years, like right around after when Five Guys came out, and wanted to do a story together. Aris, obviously, a lot of passion about superheroes. And I was very much like, okay, if we do something superhero, we need to find our own way into it. And we came up with the story Astonishing Times that obviously has our own universe, our own characters. But Volume 1 is very much almost a little bit of an ending. Like we introduce a few of our characters who have had presumable long histories in the world and gone through a lot and came together almost like the big superhero team or Avengers or Justice League, and now have kind of like fallen apart. And it's about someone whose father, a journalist named Noah Sans, whose father was basically the Jimmy Olsen of that world, like picking up the pieces and kind of getting to meet his heroes. And ultimately things get a little crazy, but it ends on an optimistic tone with
Yes.
him kind of looking towards the future and realizing that like, hey, like don't need to just like worship heroes, you can make an impact yourself. And again, it's interesting because it is very much like almost an ending of a
Yes.
story, and by design it gave us a lot of room to jump back. And again, we'll get to that with the Rise of Koken, but obviously we're
Yes.
exploring the backstory of why the characters was introduced there. But Aris, is there anything you want to add
Yeah,
or
it's
color on
kind of
that?
it's kind of I know when we were doing press for the first volume, the thing we were saying, and I actually mentioned to Jason, is it's kind of like a reverse Watchmen, right? Like we kind of wanted it to be a love letter to superheroes. So there's everything, it's all the normal tropes in there, and it's very purposeful. So we were like, it's just like that. It's like, yeah, it's on purpose. So we're gonna have our Superman archetype, our Batman archetype, like all these things, because it's like what we would do with this genre, but also like again, a love letter to it, because it's been done so many times, and it's like kind of wanted to give a different spin on it where you're not necessarily following the superheroes per se. You are, obviously, but the main protagonist is Noah, who's a reporter, and he's just like in the middle of all this. And then, like to Frank's point, by the end, it ends with him and it ends on hope and it's teased that stuff will go on into the future. But with, the Rise of Koken, we're like, let's go to the past. Let's see how we got there. We want to be, we
Yes.
Tarantino'd it. We're like, let's see how we got there. We went back to the past and are working our way back to the present slash future.
Aris, that's a perfect segue. Let's just jump right in. Rise of the Koken. Frank, I'm gonna either Aris or Frank, whoever wants to start off. Now, what is this series story about?
I will actually jump in just before we even get to that and say, like, again, our
Did you get that? Did you try again?
Oh,
Sorry,
I'm setting off.
Siri. That was weird. I'm sorry.
My voice just loves to set off robots all the time. I thought it was like my watch, it'll do that. But really do want to shout out our collaborators, co-creators on the project. We have Ruri Coleman, our artist on the series and co-creator. And on this series, we have Andrew Kramer coming out for colors. And again, we're with Taylor Esposito at Ghost Glyph doing lettering. But Ruri has been super instrumental here, really taking the reins and like co-wrote some of the issues and really was important to the storytelling. So I really want to jump in and say that he has been instrumental and really doing a lot just beyond art, which has been great. So Ruri, if you end up listening to this, you know what you've done, and I've credited you.
For sure.
But back to the topic, did you ask generally what is it about? Because I got lost in my.
Oh no. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, what is this story about? And of course, and listeners, have you heard, because Koken has something, there's a little bit of technology in it, as so as my iPhone just went off because it tapped into that. So I do have a little bit of the Koken technology, so please don't tell anyone. Don't tell the clan or anybody else,
Very on theme, yeah. But
but
yeah, so in Astonishing Times, as Eris said, we introduce our kind of own takes on classic superhero archetypes, and Koken was very much supposed to be our take on like Batman slash Wolverine, the like almost like dark Avenger character who is like clearly a little rough around the edges, and he aesthetically looks like a cyberpunk samurai. He's a human underneath it though, and one big thing is he's missing an arm, we reveal, and again, he's kind of cracked and come apart in Astonishing Times Volume 1, but here we want to really explore his total backstory. And like issue one of Rise of the Koken straight up starts with him as like a little kid and jumps through his whole life into how he kind of comes into possession of this armor and his kind of backstory. Because again, he is an American who ends up going to Japan and kind of getting ensconced in the culture there and becoming tied up with these dangerous clans where he, not necessarily a spoiler because we see him in the first volume as like wearing this armor, but kind of rises through the ranks. But we were really excited to tell that story. It takes place in the 80s. We very much want to like homage kind of like Frank Miller Daredevil a little bit and like write something that felt fun, like a action movie that still has substance and like a lot of character. But whereas Volume One was a very modern kind of almost like pseudo journalistic lens, not I wouldn't really say it's a journalistic book, but it was like a grounded human character telling the story. This is a superhero comic through and through.
For
And
sure.
again, we really hit the ground running in issue one and get that whole backpack story together. And from issue two on, it's really just Koken in Japan. And well, I realize we don't say his name. We were just talking about this, but the man who will become Koken in Japan and getting caught up into some dangerous business with some dangerous people.
For
Eris,
did
sure,
you want
yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, to Frank's point, it's basically, the simplified version of that. It's his origin, right? So, we wanted to go back in time, tell his origin, because Koken was one of our favorite characters, and it's also seemed to be one of, the public's favorite characters. It's kind of like our quote unquote breakout character. So, we went back, and we were like, "What would his origin be?" We had an idea already, but it was really fun fleshing it out. Me, Frank, and Rui, and Rui, to Frank's point, yes, he's our artist, but he's basically like a co-writer as well. Especially with Volume Two, he helped a lot, very instrumental in fleshing out like a lot of the story beats and stuff like that. I would say at times he's even more thorough than Frank and I, which is just kind
Well,
of awesome.
by design too, like he's done so much design work for the series,
Yeah,
like actual like character sheets and stuff, and we'll be like, what
for
about this
sure.
thing I designed? And we're like, oh yes, we did have that. Thank you for
Yeah.
remembering.
No, he is a godsend. I love him through and through. He is a good person and he is a very talented creative. But one of the favorite things I want to touch on before we move on about, this issue is we touch one of the things I like the most about this is when all three of us were talking it out. I think one day we were on a phone call, Frank. I was on my way home and I was like, I said something about like, what if we did like different, like the Seven Deadly Sins or like the emotion spectrum, like our version of that. And then, talking with the guys with Frank and Ruri, it kind of became different clans. And it's not a spoiler because the first three issues are out and each clan has their own, like, they specialize in their own thing, right? So I won't say what it is, but they all the clans specialize in their own thing. Find out, you read the issues. I just thought that was really cool. It's one of my favorite aspects of the story. And it's just funny how, you know, you'll say one thing and then it comes into this awesome thing when collaborating with your buddies and fellow creatives. And it's turned out to be one of my favorite things about Koken's origin. And now, like, there's multiple Kokens because there's a Koken of each clan, and it's just really cool. And it allows a lot for us to go back to explore in the future, which is probably my favorite thing, because now there's just so many cogs in there and so many pet forks in the road. We can go so many different ways if we wanted to.
One character I want if you get one of the characters if you guys can talk about is, and Frank, I'll start off with you, is, and Aris, please jump in too. Sensei, right? He plays a key role. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about who Sensei is?
Yeah, so again, we do reveal his name as Oto, Oto,
Yes.
in the second issue, but really we like this idea of like having this like mysterious like benefactor, right, who kind of raises Koken and trains him. And it's very like, I know like they've done Batman's backstory a lot where he like seeks out training, but really what we had here is Koken as a young boy runs away from home and manages to catch the attention of this mysterious benefactor who he never really gets, at least early on, too into the weeds of why this person even approached him. But again, comes to train him and basically is training him as like a bodyguard, but comes to be a father figure to him as well. Like we want to show like, oh, like look, this is basically an adopted father. And again, it's a action story slash like meant to carry kind of a little bit of the edginess of the 80s. So it's like, I remember someone was like, oh man, it's messed up. This guy beats him up in the first scene that he meets him. It's like, well, yeah, that's the kind of guy he is. He's there to push him and train him. And we want to make sure that we showed their relationship. And again, Ruri did such a good job drawing it out. And really we see the meat of it in issue one, and we move fast, but like you see them kind of develop together and then really get into it in issue two. And again, I guess we can just speak freely because issue three is out. If you've not read it, cover your ears for a minute. But then we always knew like his death is something that pushes Koken forward into really like getting thrust into this world. And we were sad but excited to see Ruri draw that and deliver on it in issue two. And
Yes.
then in issue three, which just came out, we show Koken kind of like mobilizing and being like, you know what, I'm gonna figure out who did this, and getting betrayed yet again. He does not have a nice time in his backstory, but that's why he becomes who he is.
Yeah, I remember when we were doing it. I think it was Rory who said it. It's like when the scripts would be sent, he's like, "Is this guy ever gonna get a break?"
Like, not really, unfortunately, yeah.
But yeah, I love Sensei. I think it was very important to have a character that young Koken could attach himself to. You know what I mean? Just to have something, because clearly we established in the first issue that his father's not it, right?
Yeah.
Hence him leaving, like with, you know, in the first quarter of the issue. And then to have that twist at the end where he's come to, it, I thought it was really interesting that the per his kidnapper becomes the person he loves the most. Like that's really, I think that's really cool. And we don't necessarily explain it, you kind of just get it as it happens. You're like, oh, like he's been with him for years, he's become that father figure. He's learned that, like, you know, even though he technically kidnapped him, he's learned that, like, oh, he's helping me, he loves me. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic to play with. And then, you know, him being taken away, the only thing guy he's ever had in his life, that's obviously going to make him very pissed off. So what's he going to do when, you know, his surrogate father that he loved is gone now? And I think, you know, that's what we're going to see as the story progresses and concludes.
Listeners, as I mentioned in, you know, Astonishing Times, the first volume is a Comixology originals. The Rise of Koken is also a Comixology originals. Aris, I'm going to start off with you. So did Comixology, you know, after the success of the first volume, did they come back to you guys, or did they say, you know, hey, do you guys have story, you know, do you have, like, how did that work out? How did you guys come up with the Rise of Koken with Comixology?
It kind of happened organically. Frank, Ruri, and I always knew like there was more story to tell. We built this as a universe. We're like, hey, we do this, and you know people like it or whatever. Yeah, there's lots of, you know, we could do an infinite story. There's lots of different ways we can go with this, I'm saying, because it's like our superhero universe. But I remember just all of us kind of chatting with, you know, the people at Comixology, and they were just very open. They're like, yeah, whatever you use, like, we love it as long as you guys want to keep doing it, sure. So then that became like a, okay, you know, me, Frank, Ruri, what do we want to do? And then obviously ultimately we landed with Kogan, because we love the character, and it seemed like people love the character. So, you know, we went that route with it, clearly. And then, you know, if this one goes good or whatnot, there's other things I know we want to do. So yeah, it just kind of happened organically, which was, you know, worked out well.
Frank, you want to add anything to that?
Same old, like, we always knew going in we would love to do more. So as long as we didn't like completely find no audience or beef it, that was always the plan, and we were happy to kind of just jump back in. And I guess it has been a minute. Time has been a weird vacuum over these last few years, because like the first volume we did, like right as COVID kind of hit, I think, like, I remember talking to Chip Mosher, who was at Comixology, about Astonishing Times at the last New York Comic Con before COVID, and starting the ball rolling. And then it took so long, just with everything falling apart, being all over, and again. So it's all been brewing for a while, and we were very happy to jump back in immediately and kind of just keep things rolling, as it always was the plan. So
yeah, it's so good to have the support from Comixology and Dark Horse, who does the trade, because I know for me personally, I'm sure Frank too, but I'll just speak for myself. I know me personally, you know, when we're at I'm at the New York Comic Cons or the San Diego, you know, I end up talking to a lot of people who work at Dark Horse and Comixology internally, and they all genuinely seem to love it, which is great too. So that's really fun. So, you know, there are cheerleaders. So hopefully more is to come.
Aris, I'm going to start off with you, because I remember the last time when we talked about Astonishing Times. Are you guys doing like the behind the scenes breakdown of each issue, or like, this is how the art process works, this is what we, you know, how, you know, we came up with a story? Or
yes, it's funny you mentioned that. So I just got done working on the script for one of the episodes, the first episodes actually, to promote it this time around. Things have been a little slower this time around because my years internally and personally has been a little rocky. It's been a crazy first quarter. But yeah, I believe next week or the following week, we're going to have our first episode up, pushing the book. In the episode, I essentially break down the first three issues while also giving fun facts of the creative process, what we were thinking, and tease issues 4 and 5 as well. So it's probably going to be around a 15-minute video, kind of doing, because last time, like you said, we did each character, but now people know who Kokin is, right? Like, we already have it on solo Kokin video up. So now we get, people are a little more familiar, get to come back and be like, hey, remember that character? Remember Volume 1? Well, now it's its own thing, and it's actually 3 issues in. You could read the first 3 issues right now. Yes. So yes, we are going to do, so we have one that will go up within the next 2 weeks, and we'll probably do another and then get Frank and Ruri on the podcast and all that fun stuff. So yes, there will be Astonishing Times content on Variant Comics, the channel. First one, probably, what is it? We're looking at the end of this month. By the first episode. So within the next 2 weeks, there'll be some AT content on there.
All right. Oh, that's pretty good. Frank, I'm going to off the cuff question. When you, Aris, and when you guys get together on the podcast, even Ruri, when you guys get on the podcast, is it a lot of fun doing the podcast, going over stuff? And
it's nice to talk about it after that fact, because it can be celebratory and fun versus like, we have a lot of work to do, so it is a good time and a nice like outlet to do on our own. Because again, most press, like, obviously, like, is not like made ourselves. So the fact like we can do it in house, and Aris has like a way to bring it out, is a nice like comfortable way for us to say, kind of not editorialize, but at least like have like a space where we can look, oh, like, you know what, I wish we could talk about this thing we did that no one will ever know, or like, we don't want to have to ask people to ask about. So it's fun to get to do like a retrospective like that.
Yeah, it's a very unique position we're in, where like one of the co-creators has a platform to be able to, like, a big platform to be able to promote the thing that we're all working on. So it's really fun, because like, to Frank's point, like, we can do what we want when we want, and it's there's just a direct audience right there. So it's been really, really fun, and I'm very excited because we have pushing, you know, I've been pushing it on my socials and stuff like that, but I'm very curious to see, you know, because I'm sure there's still a lot of the fan base who, you know, hasn't been reminded of it. So I'm very curious to see what the reaction is going to be when they're like, wait, the sequel's out and it's 3 issues in? The hell? And then I'm very happy or very, you know, curious and excited to see what happens once we put that video up.
All right, guys, I'm slowly wrapping things up. I'm going to give you guys fun questions. If a major film studio picks up the rights to Astonishing Times, who is your pick for director?
Oh,
Oh,
God.
that's a good one. Oh, man.
Because I want to set you guys up, because if that phone rings tomorrow,
Jeez.
I don't even know, man. I'm out of like air. So you, I feel like you probably watch
I
more
mean,
movies than me at this point.
yeah. I mean, the first one I would go to, James Gunn. He's kind of running DC right now.
Oh, yeah. Is he available?
I mean, this is a perfect world, okay? Perfect
Yes.
world.
Yes.
James Gunn, I mean, he's the guy. He could The reason why I say James Gunn is because there's a lot of great directors out there. You know, you got Matt Reeves, J.J. Abrams, you know, Vaughn. There's ton, but James Gunn seems to be like an actual nerd, right? Like he reads the comics, he's really in it to where hopefully, if my assumptions are correct, he wouldn't want to change too much. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of like a thing. All of us nerds, we're like, "Oh, you're doing a Batman movie, but you're making it nothing like Batman." You know, so I just feel like he would honor like the at least the quote unquote Bible we wrote for the universe.
All right, the next question. I'm just gonna let's just kind of I'm gonna narrow it down just to maybe Koken and Infinite. Who'd you pick as the actors to play those two characters?
I'm so bad at casting. Oh, the airs
Idris
start.
Elba. Idris
Oh,
Elba is
okay. Idris
Infinite.
Elba. Yeah, there we
Oh
go.
my
Yeah.
God.
He would look
Now
great
I'm
with the
on board.
dreads.
Yeah.
Idris Elba is Infinite. Koken's a hard because are we doing young Koken or old Koken? Like Koken in his prime or like present grumpy Koken?
Be like, I feel like
Present, let's put it this pre present grumpy Koken, but I still
I'm.
think Koken either when he's young or old, he's still awesome though. But
He'd never do
Yes.
it, but like I feel like I look at that illustration, he looks like Daniel Day-Lewis kind of.
Oh my God.
Imagine Idris in Daniel Day-Lewis in his first superhero role.
You're
I mean,
just going for like one of your.
who's someone more modern who's not fucking Daniel, excuse me, who's
No,
not
that's all
Daniel
right. It's okay.
Day-Lewis? I
What about like everyone wants Daniel Radcliffe, aka Harry Potter for Wolverine? What about we poach him for
mean, he
Koken?
put some 5 o'clock shadow on him. He can get
Yeah,
there.
yeah.
Oh my God, you know who I was just thinking of? Oh God, who's that? It's that other English actor, Adrian Brody? Because remember when he did was it Predators?
Yeah, he did
I was
Predators,
like,
yep.
what? He's cast, and I'm like, oh my God, he looks
I
pretty
think
good.
if Adrian Brody got a little beefy, it could be.
Oh, you know who? He's playing Kraven, and he played Quicksilver in Age of
Oh,
Ultron.
yeah.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I think they
Aaron
just said
Taylor
that
Johnson.
he got the offer to be Bond today,
Yeah,
too.
he would be an awesome young Koken, like a Koken in his prime.
Yeah. All
Oh,
right. Movie is
because
done. We have Aaron Johnson and Idris, and I think that could sell. I think that could get seats at butts in seats.
Dude, Idris Elba with the dreads as Infinite and the like the pink glowing eyes, bro. That'd be crazy.
Get on the phone. Get me Idris.
All right. If a well-known toy company picks up the rights to make action figures from this universe, who would the first character you guys want to be as the action hero in the first wave? Like first character in the first wave.
Koken, because of all the
Yeah,
accessories,
I was saying
for sure.
Koken. My joke
All,
answer was
yep.
Noah's dad, but
Yeah.
Koken.
You could have interchangeable heads, masked, unmasked,
Yeah.
his
See,
katanas, his
that's
like.
more in realm of things we should be doing,
Yeah.
but
You're like, that's more obtainable than getting Idris Elba. You don't
no.
think Idris Elba would pick up the phone if we called?
Absolutely not. I'm gonna say from me, no. Idris does
Well,
not pick up.
I thought you were going to come back with, well, first of all, how are we getting the number to call him?
Oh no, it's the information age. I don't doubt we could get the number. I don't doubt we could get his agent. I just think they'd be like, you are who? Like, okay.
So, all right. Two more questions. Frank, I'm going to start off with you. Next convention or store signing appearance?
Oh, gosh. I will make an attempt to do a lot more cons this year because things are finally stabilized. I definitely want to try to do New York Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely also want to try to do Emerald City.
Mm.
Like, so I would really look out for those. Don't think I'll be at San Diego Comic-Con this year, unfortunately. It's just a little too much for me still. But stores, gosh, anywhere that will have us, basically. Like, especially, we don't have any kind of trade date yet for this book, but we will actually do signings to support this one way is out because we missed that because of COVID last time, unfortunately. So I will say unabashedly, my favorite retailers, favorite store is Third Eye Comics in Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh,
fantastic,
yeah.
Fantastic retailer. Lots of good ones. I was just in San Francisco and stopped by Cape and
Golden
Cow
Apple?
Comics.
Okay, oh, Cow.
Cape and Cow, who I really love. Golden Apple, I think, is in LA. Right?
LA, it is LA. I just heard, yeah. Just California clicked in my head, so I just went through
yeah,
it.
No, I was saying, there's a lot of like great retailers, but again, I just have to shout out Third Eye as love their store. Love Steve Anderson, who runs it, and huge supporter of my career. And I really want to go do an Astonishing Times event there soon. So. Keep your eyes open, Marylanders.
Harris, what about you?
The next con I will definitely be at will be Dallas Comic Con in June, because that is a local con. I'm in the Dallas, Fort Worth area.
Didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, dude, you should come down. You're only a few hours away. We can do a signing, actually. Let's do a signing there.
I was going to say, let's real-time coordinate our channels.
Yeah, we
on
we
this.
Got some ash cans and some volume ones we could sign.
Many. I've not done a Comic-Con so long. I have so many books.
Yeah, so Dallas Comic-Con for sure, probably New York. Dallas Comic-Con in New York or Dallas Comic-Con for sure, New York probably. Trying to get to San Diego, it's just going to be we'll see. My wife's actually pregnant. She's due in August, so we'll see. But yeah, those for sure. I mean, last year I hit up the cons a lot. I went to San Diego, New York. I did a lot of them last year, but Dallas and New York are the ones for sure this year. And then as far as comic book shops, Madness Comics in Plano, Texas is awesome. I'm there a lot. I actually told Frank we could do a sign there. It's huge. It's a really big. It's like half comics, half gaming, but it's massive. So that's a good shop that I frequent. But yeah, that would be my answer.
All right. Last question. I'm going to start off, Aris, I'm going to start off with you, then Frank. Any closing words to our listeners?
Closing words to, yeah, I hope, you know, you guys check out Astonishing Times Volume 1. You could read the whole thing right now on Comixology Unlimited / Kindle for free if you have a Kindle Unlimited account or an Amazon Prime account, which, like, most people do. So you could actually read the first three issues of Rise of the Kokan as well if you have, you know, a Kindle or Prime account for free. And yeah, we made the story for all of you, obviously for us, but you know, we write it for us, but also in hopes that what we like resonates with everyone. Obviously it's like, what would we want to read? Cause we're nerds ourselves, right? Like, I'm a comic fan first and foremost. Comics helped me like learn to read, you know, when I was a little kid. So just please check out the issues. They're easy to obtain. You can do it on your laptop, your computer, your iPad, your phone. And then the trade of the physical for all people like physical drops early next year through Dark Horse.
Frank?
Revisit the question. I literally just blanked as Eric said something. I was thinking about a signing.
Any closing words for our listeners?
Jeez, thank you. I'm sorry. It's been a day. Yeah, just first of all, thank you for all the support. Again, people have been great with coming to us with Astonishing Times. We're enjoying it, and definitely check out the new volume. We're super proud of it. And yeah, we really just hope to get more in front of everyone and keep you excited with where the story is going. We're at a really fun point with issue 3 out right now, where we end on a pretty... It's funny because, again, we the story that comes after, but we ended up on a pretty big cliffhanger in issue 3, and we're really excited to get to the last two issues, which very much feel like our finale and show us how Kokan goes from this wide-eyed, bushy-tailed young boy into the sad, angry man he is in the volume. You meet him later. And again, just can't shout out the team enough. And again, our Colorist Andrew Kramer, who jumped on. Lauren Avio did volume one. Unfortunately, had a scheduling conflict, but loved the work she did. But Andrew's done an awesome job carving out his own path as well.
Yep.
And our new logo, too, that Dylan Todd, who did the main Astonishing Times logo, but then also did our cool Rise of the Koken logo. That's very, very awesome as well. And again, just thankful for people at Dark Horse Comixology letting us keep doing this. And anyone who gives us this time, as Eris said, we are, first and foremost, we love doing this, which is why we're doing it. So we're so glad to actually put something out in front of people and engage the community as well.
Yeah, and issues for... are you done? I don't want to interrupt you now.
I was going to thank Jason too, but we could save that for a
book. Yeah, no, I was just going to say that issues 4 and 5, just to tease a little more, like we really run. Because as of issue 3, like there's some good twists and revelations there too, but it's like it really sets up to once you hit for 4, you're like, oh, this guy's doing this, this, and this. Oh, and that's with her. And then, you know, the final issue. So, you know, without saying too much, issue 4 to 5 is just runs. So now we're off to the races.
Eris, I'm going to conclude. Yes, it does, because I read issue 3. It's like those last few pages, like, wow, this is going to be good.
So, right.
All right, Frank and Eris, mahalo. Thank you in Hawaiian. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to interview you guys. Thank you very much for your time. I wish you guys all the success with Astonishing Times, Rise of the Koken. I also want to thank Pamela of Superfan Promotions for setting up this interview. Now, if you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader, please check out Astonishing Times, The Rise of the Koken. It's on Comixology Originals. And also, too, please check out Astonishing Times Volume 1. Again, it's available on Comixology. Or if you want the, a physical copy, it's available through Dark Horse. I love this series. The Rise of the Koken. Now, without spoiling it, I love the different approach to the character's origin. It's great. I love it. And I finished reading issue 3. And like I said, I cannot wait for issues 4 and 5. I really cannot. I want to thank Drew, the co-host of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And if you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
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 As you know, our LCS is Cowabunga Comics, Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are our LCS, and we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.